Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Friendship Frequency. This is a podcast where we talk about our real life struggles and what has worked for us. We get vulnerable and discuss our everyday lives, and we invite you to go on this journey to better yourself right along with us. I'm Tab Johnson.
And I'm Aaron Windhorn.
And this is who we are, and this is what we do.
What up, my friend?
What up, what up? Happy Thursday.
I know. Crazy day. Took an hour and 15 minutes to get home today.
Bro, I left Seattle at 2:15, 2:30, and didn't get home till 4:15 almost. Right. And there was nothing, like no accidents or anything, but traffic was just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I don't know what it was. I was like all happy. I turned my GPS on because I do that every day just so I know what's the fastest route. I turn it on, it says 45 minutes, and then all of a sudden it loads, hour and 15. I was like, yeah, psych, motherfucker.
Right?
Damn Seattle traffic.
I know, dude.
It's like, what the hell's going on?
No idea. Well, I mean, I kept thinking, is it the weather? Like, I don't know. You would think that we would know how to drive in the rain by now, but, well, here we are.
It wasn't even raining. I mean, it was sprinkling. But...
Yeah, so...
I don't know.
But yeah, I get it. I feel it. Trust me. It's not my funnest adventure either.
Right.
So. Yeah.
So what else is new? We haven't talked in a couple days.
I know. So I'm really like, work is just, I'm swamped right now. End of the year, you know, end of year, clean up everything. Plus, let's launch 2025. And so it's just a lot. Work is taking it out of me right now. So I'm literally swamped. So by the time I get home, I'm like out of words, which is saying a lot for me because I'm never out of words.
That is saying a lot.
Okay. See, here we go.
I'm just agreeing with you. Jeez. We all know you like to talk. Everybody knows. It's all good.
Yeah,
you make it's up just for taking those it. That don't.
Yeah, it's taking it out of me right now. So I'm just trying to, you know, leave work at work and stay consistent in my stuff and for me and on a personal level and just not let work overtake me because we both know that has definitely happened before. Try and stay out of that mindset.
You just did a podcast about that, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
For that to come out soon.
Yep. Tomorrow, yeah. Is that the one we're dropping tomorrow? Aaron, listen, I show up and talk. Aaron edits and launches all our stuff. So
I don't even know. I mean, we got like four in the queue. So if right that on. One's, that seems about right.
Good for
I don't
us.
Know. I got a notification today when I logged on to Instagram that says it appears that you have some automation going on your account. It's against community guidelines. Oh. And I don't know if it's for my personal page or if it was for Friendship Frequency or the walking group. But the only automation that I have is, well.
It's not the friendship because I didn't get the notification.
Well, it might be the My Life by Aaron page.
Yeah.
That's the only one.
That's what I was thinking, because I didn't get it for the walking group either.
That's not tied to the walking group, though. So it's got to be the friendship. I don't know. Because I'm not automating my personal. I'm not automating.
I don't automate anything. I don't even know what you're talking about as far as doing
that. Well, our podcast reels, I set it up every day through Opus Clip that posts those reels every day on our friendship frequency page.
I thought you were doing that.
That's too much work. It's never been against community guidelines to automate posting, so.
Haters.
I don't know what it is. I guess we'll see if they ban the page.
Good. Haters.
But they already banned the TikTok, so I don't know what's up with that.
Well, you know, sometimes people can't handle the truth, Aaron. This is what happens.
Right.
Haters. So we'll just keep doing what we do. Yeah. What about you? What's going on with you?
Work, and it's been pretty crazy. Like, we onboarded a new hotel chain that we manage all their properties, and it was like supposed to be like, I don't know, 30 or 40 properties on top of what we already have. And it wasn't supposed to happen until the 15th. And then Monday morning started getting calls and tickets from this new.
Dang.
New company. We're like, well, what the hell? We're not supposed to be taken over until, well, no, beknownst to us, the corporate people emailed the owner of our company and was like, hey, we want to push it forward a week. And so they told all their people that we took over on Monday.
Good.
And, you know, we were, and it was only supposed to be, what, 30 or 40 properties. Well, it's about 50 or 60, and there's like 13 properties we have no information on. So,
all right.
It was very busy for two people.
Well, I bet.
Fielding like all the calls for our existing customers plus this new management company.
Yeah, see, no.
So it's Monday. Monday was pretty stressful. I get a break on Tuesday and Thursday because I work at the in Seattle at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel sorry for my boss because he has to do it all on his own on the days that I work in Seattle. So,
well.
But I start at 6 o'clock and most of those properties are on the East Coast. So he probably don't jump on until 7 or 8 o'clock. So yeah. I'm pretty much dealing with them all.
No bueno.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't be so bad if we knew the inner workings of the properties, but when you're like, you have no clue of the inner workings and you're just trying to deal with it on the fly.
Right. That would frustrate me too. You already know that would not go well for me. That would not just, nope, it's giving me anxiety thinking about it. Nope, can't do it. That's kind of where I'm at with mine, like going into 2025. Like, we have a plan. We have goals. I've established all that. Mm-hmm. But putting those into place and figuring out how we're going to achieve them, if anything goes outside of that plan, that's the part I don't deal with so well. So we'll see. I'm learning. I'm trying to focus on being flexible and adaptable.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah. So we'll see how well that works out. Yeah.
Right.
It's funny because on my recovery meetings Monday night, we were talking about expectations. This was after the meeting, just having conversation or whatever. It was the first time I heard someone describe expectations. And you know, you and I have talked about expectations and to not have them because that's when you get disappointed or whatever. She said expectations equals premeditated resentments, and I was like, motherfuck.
Yeah,
that's the best way I've ever heard it described in my life. I was like, I'm stealing that. I was like, that's the best thing I've ever heard. I was like, so now I'm trying to avoid the premeditated.
Right.
And just, you know, let it be what it is. It's a work in progress. Work in progress for sure.
Resentments are no fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'm good at them. I am good at them, good at carrying them, good at holding them, all of the things. So that's a focus for me.
Can you imagine how much less stress would be in your life if you could just like...
Dude. Yeah, absolutely. Like, and listen, I've come a long way. Like, I've gotten better about it for sure.
Yeah.
But I think I expect the same level of character that I have for myself from other people. Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah,
that's expectations.
Yep. And that's where I get, that's where I get disappointed at. So
yeah, for sure.
We're going to work on that.
I'm 11 years into mine. And so it's like when a resentment comes, I recognize it and I most of the time just let it go. Sometimes I'll stay in it for an hour, but that shit's got to go because it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot of things you can do in life too. Like when somebody would ask to borrow money.
Yep.
There was always that expectation that they were going to pay me back. So like if I'm in a position to loan people money now, it's a gift. I don't tell them it's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But from my standpoint, it's a gift. So then if I don't get that back, then there's no resentment happening there. So
right.
There's just things like that you can do in life to make it simpler on yourself.
Yeah. We'll work on that this year. Or this that'll be, we'll add that to the list.
So speaking on resentments and all that. So last week, I guess not necessarily resentments, but last week we did a podcast where I kind of shared who I was to allow the audience to get to know me a little bit better. So I think this week it's your turn to
can't wait.
Let the audience know some more about you. Tell, you know, talk about whatever you want. I guess I probably should have preempted you before, like you gave me the opportunity last week of what you don't want to talk about. So we will just.
I won't talk about what I want to talk about. That's just what it is.
Deal.
Me. I am 44 years old, married with 3 kids. I've been married to Jason. What year are we in? 2024. 22 years. We've been together for 23. Right? Wild. God.
That's amazing.
He is literally the other half of me. Thank God. He's my calm and I'm his anger and excitement and fun and all the things. But yeah, I have 1 kid still at home and 2 that have moved out and are grown and living their own lives and, you know, super proud of them. Raised good humans. They are phenomenal. I haven't done a lot of things right, but those three humans I have done and I'm super proud of them and for who they are and what they represent in their life. But yeah, I grew up in Texas. Chaos. Just chaos. My mom and dad got together when my mom was really young. My mom had me really young. She was an alcoholic drug addict. My dad has always been an alcoholic. And I know he's going to listen to this. Dad, I love you. But, you know, just some of my earliest memories are chaos. My mom was not around. She was off doing her thing. My dad raised me. I can remember being really young, and I'm going to age myself with this, but I can remember being super young, like kindergarten, maybe even before kindergarten, And my dad worked in the oil field at the time. And in Texas, like that's a lifestyle. My dad worked in the oil field and he would come home at like 4 or 5 in the morning. And I can remember getting up and, you know, being excited that he was home. And you know, the old tin lunch boxes that were like the fold over top or whatever, just the old school tin ones. That's what he had. And he would always leave a piece of his, like a half of his bologna and cheese sandwich in there. And I would get it. And like the cheese was melted just right. And like I would eat that bologna and cheese sandwich and watch Fraggle Rock. Like that was our, I mean, to this day, I know every word to the song, that the opening song. And, you know, my dad drank and has always drank. And, but he was.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Always there. Like, he never left me. You know, he had to work, and I was either with a babysitter or most of the time my grandmother. My Nana, who is his mom, and then with my mom's mom, who I call Ma. And, you know, we were broke. We didn't have anything. I can remember one Christmas where we couldn't afford a Christmas tree. And in Texas, they put the Christmas tree, like they cut live trees. I don't know where the hell they get them from, because they're, promise you, they're not growing in Texas.
Right.
They put them in front of the grocery stores, like along the wall, and you can go pick your tree or whatever. It was super late at night, and my dad had this truck. And I can remember us pulling up to the grocery store and throwing the tree in the back of the truck, and we just bounced. And we went home, and at the time, I didn't know that we were stealing the Christmas tree. But, you know, as you get older and looking back and talk about memories or whatever, I finally figured it out. It was, oh my God, we're criminals. But, you know, took it home. We didn't have a tree stand, but we did have a menudo pot. So menudo is a soup, a Mexican soup. And the pot is like humongous that you make it in. So we put the tree in the pot and filled it with dirt. We didn't have any decorations. I remember putting popcorn on the tree. And that was our tree that year. You know, another time I can remember just me and my dad. My dad had fallen off of a rig 30 feet and broke his leg. And he was in a cast and crutches. I remember my mom being there when they come and told us that my dad had fallen. I remember running in my bedroom thinking that he was dead. And little, like before kindergarten. And thinking that my dad was dead, obviously finding out later he wasn't, but he came home with this cast and crutches, and my mom left. And it was just me and my dad. And it was around Halloween, because my dad took me trick-or-treating on his crutches. We cut the cast off, him and I mean literally with a saw and like scissors, cutting this cast off. And my dad took me trick-or-treating. And we had to go out the back door because people kept ringing the doorbell to get candy. I didn't have a costume, but I had a red wig and he painted my face white. And that was, you know, we just made do with what we had. And regardless of, you know, my dad drinking and all of that. My dad never left me. He always was there. He did the very best that he could with what we had and somehow just made it work. You know, fast forward a few years, my mom got sober. She was sober for a year and a couple months. I remember going to AA meetings with her. I remember going to her birthday meeting. And I remember sitting there and just crying. I just was super proud of her. Like, she became a completely different person. And my mom's personality is mine. Literally, I'm probably, just like I say about my daughter, I'm my mother made over. Big personality, big laugh, just people gravitated towards her. She just made everybody feel super welcome when she was, you know, when they were around her. When she was sober, you know, living who she truly was instead of trying to hide whatever she went through or mask whatever pain she was going through. And to this day, I mean, she's passed away now, but I truly don't know everything about her and what she went through as a kid and what her pain actually was. But, you know, she got sober for a little while. I lived with my dad at the time. And, you know, I remember different times thinking I wanted to be with her, but she would never. It just, she couldn't slow down long enough to be a parent. When I was 12, my dad and I got into a huge fight. I had to go to the hospital. You know, it was just, and I wasn't hurt or nothing was, you know, nothing like that. But I had to go to the hospital to be checked out. And it happened in a public place. And, you know, it wasn't good. So my dad and I left my dad at that point and went and lived with my mom. I was with my mom for about 4 years and didn't talk to my dad at all for 3 of those. Like, not a word. We didn't speak. Not because I didn't want to or not because he didn't want to, but I think my mom wouldn't let it happen. By that point, she was with my stepdad and just had my sister. And, you know, the chaos just was always there, you know. I was super independent from a really young age and just knew that I knew it wasn't normal the way that my life was lived, but I didn't, at that age, I didn't know, like, I would go to friends' houses and see that what normal was. So I knew that my life was not normal, but, you know, you just do what you have to do. You know, I knew at a very young age that I was not going to live that life. I think I was in the 7th grade when I decided that I was going to the military. I first was going to go to the Marines. My uncle, my mom's brother, talked me out of the Marines and talked me into the Navy. But I just knew that this couldn't be what life was. And I didn't want to have kids because I was scared to death that I would mess them up. So, you know, the second I got out of high school, I left. I went to the military and pushed myself through the military and just never looked back. You know, I drank a little bit here and there, but it was never anything that I like enjoyed. I can't do hangovers. Like, I cannot do hangovers the next day. That, well, I can't do it. If I stay up too late, I feel hungover, like even now. So hangovers and me are not a good combination. But the scary part for me was the anger was always right there, just kind of brewing in the background. And in high school, I got into a lot of fights, gang banged, and just did stupid shit. Never got in trouble, never got caught, but the anger was always there. And I've done some serious damage to people physically because of that. And it was just, yeah. Fast forward, military, met Ashley's dad, believed every word he said, like an idiot. And then, thank God, met Jason. And fast forward, and here we are now. So the anger has always been there. That's never, and I get it from both of them, my mom and my dad. They both have tempers that are out of this world. And now, so is, you know, at one point, so is mine. And I thought that that was okay. I thought that that's just who I was. And, you know, my first marriage, I thought that love was beating the shit out of each other. I thought that was love because that's what I saw. And then they put my baby in my arms the first time and I knew that I would never let anybody touch her. And so, yeah.
Well, learned some new stuff there. I mean, you might have told me before that you were married before, but I didn't pay attention, which is quite possible. But
I mean, all of 7 months.
Yeah.
Let's not go far in the marriage word, but right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, like, the trauma that you went through and the person that you become is amazing.
You know, I'll say this. My dad is, and every time I talk about him, I just get emotional. My dad made mistakes, and, you know, my dad is human. But to me, my dad is Superman. And one thing about my dad, like if I can say that I learned anything, and some of the best things that I've ever learned from him is, number one, you stand on your mistakes. You own them. You don't put them on anyone else. And my work ethic, I mean, there is nobody that works harder than that man in the world. And, you know, he put himself through chef school and became a chef and super successful and, you know, just recognized and praised for the man that he became. And I just, like, you know, there's a sense of pride with my dad, I think, that sometimes is not beneficial. You know what I mean? Like, pride can definitely be a bad thing too. Mm-hmm. But my dad is, there's nothing I could do or say that my dad would ever be like, we're done. I don't care how bad it got between us or what the situation is. My dad will never, ever leave me. And I know that for a fact. You know, I've said some hateful shit to my dad out of anger. And, you know, we give it a little while and then we deal with it and pick right back up where we left off. You know, just like anybody else, he's a work in progress and he's dealing with his demons, you know, and I'm proud of him for that. And more importantly, he encourages me to deal with mine, even when it comes to him. And he tells me how proud he is that, you know, that we do this and we talk about stuff like this on the podcast and, or, you know, that I'm in the gym working out and he just is always super proud of me. I could, you know, anything I ever did ever, he always was just so proud. So, and he never left me. He never left me. You know, when my mom died, it was such a, it killed me. It killed me. And I think for the wrong reasons. Ugh, I'm going to cry through this whole thing. When my mom died, it killed me because I couldn't save her. And I tried for so, like my whole life. You know, my whole life was based on saving her. And I just couldn't do it. And, you know, my dad was the only person that was able to get through and be like, it was never your job to save her. You know, and I couldn't see that for a long time. And, you know, my mom's birthday was this month, at the beginning of this month. And I posted this thing because I've carried so much anger towards her. I did for so many years. You know, she passed away 21 years ago. And I blamed her for everything, for me, for my sister. You know, I've always blamed her. And I just couldn't understand how a mother could do some of the things that she had done. And then I finally learned to let that resentment go and, you know, understand that she did the best she could with what she had and that she was fighting her own demons. And, you know, my dad has never said a bad word about my mother, ever. There was times where my dad would try and get me to Tab, your mom loves you. Shuri, your mom loves you. Shuri is my middle name. That's what my dad calls me. Your mom loves you. I know she messed up, but your mom loves you. And I would get so pissed off at him and just be like, how can you sit there and defend her? And he would never say a bad word about her, ever. But I made that post on Facebook on her birthday and my dad responded to it. And I'm telling you, it about fucking dropped me to my knees. And I was at work. And I just, you know, my parents, no, life wasn't perfect ever. But I know that I would not be who I am right now or made it through some of the shit that I have put myself through or been through in my life, not having had them as parents. So, you know, there's a new level of gratitude there. And the biggest thing I learned when my mom passed and I finally was able to work through that anger and let that anger go, now I just miss her. Now I just miss her. And I wish she could see my kids. And I wish that she could see where I am now. And I know she can. I know that. Like, I know that in my heart. But I just think about what she would be like with my kids. And that's the part that, like, is crushing. Or with my sister's kids. Or with my sister. And that's the part that's crushing. So, you know, I had to move past that anger. That was number one. And I allowed myself to use that anger as an excuse for a long time. A long time. If you remember, Aaron, when we first met, that was we had just come back from more, I think. And when we were at Michelle's house, and that was it just broke it wide open. There was nothing I could do to stop it. It broke it wide open. So yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
You struggled a lot with it, and I mean, you've come a long way,
yeah,
in progress of, you know, learning to forgive. You know, there's.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Power and forgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the longest time, I couldn't understand it. Like, I couldn't understand what forgiveness meant. And in my mind, before I realized, I thought forgiveness was, okay, well, we just act like what happened never happened, or we just pretend like everything's fine. Like, that's what I thought forgiveness was.
Yeah.
And, you know, through our mutual business and events and self-development and just educating myself, I've learned, you know, and through recovery, and I've learned that forgiveness is not for them. It was for me. And it was just releasing that power that they had over you. And I'm telling you, I was in the depths of that shit. Like, I was in the depths of that shit. And when I finally learned that, and I learned that it doesn't happen all at once, like you don't just say the statement, oh, I forgive you, and it's done. You have to forgive every time a memory comes up, or every time you get hurt by something else that triggers it. You have to forgive again. And it's not, sometimes it's just as painful as the first time you have to forgive. But you have to keep forgiving, because if you don't, the shit will eat you alive. It did me for a long time. And You know, I saw it affect my kids. I saw it affect my marriage, any aspect of my life. I mean, me, it affected me without even me realizing it. And it kept me sick for a really long time. And once I could finally start to release it and just let it go, it literally was like I could breathe because it was suffocating me. And I could finally start to take a breath, and it was just little bits at a time. And I'm where I'm at today, and I'm super, super grateful for where I'm at today, because 2.5 years ago, Hot Mess Express. So, yeah.
Yeah. I remember it kind of all started over at Michelle's.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first time anybody had said to me that I needed to get into a recovery program. And I kind of at that time, I knew what Alcoholics Anonymous was because of my mom, you know, but I didn't know there was anything other than that. And then that's kind of when I was introduced to everything else. And I was like, wow, I had no idea, you know? So, and I was still hesitant for a long time because I did not want to open this box. You know, I'm really good at compartmentalizing, and I can put it on a box or put it in a box and put it on a shelf and never touch it again until I can't.
Yeah. I mean, nobody wants to look internal and deal with their past, you know, in fear of bringing up, you know, bad emotions and feelings. But I remember I kept telling you, this is not going to go away unless you deal with it. And because it's what I went through.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Yeah.
I drank and I drugged to not have to feel or deal with reality. And it wasn't until I dealt with it that I could learn to live freely.
Yeah. I didn't drink and drug. I cursed and hit.
Yeah.
And depression would set in. Yeah. And I would dig myself deeper and deeper in that hole. And, you know, what finally made me decide, I don't care how hard it is, I have to go through this, was, you know, there was a situation between Jason and I where I completely lost it. And no, I didn't physically hurt him or put hands on him or anything like that, but I wanted to. And if anybody knows Jason, they know that he would never in a million years. He's the calmest, most just gentle person, and he would never. Not only was it the physical thoughts that I had, but it was also the shit that would fly out of my mouth without hesitation, you know, and I can hurt you faster that way than I can physically. And I saw the damage that it did, and that's when I decided it was time. And it was probably one of the scariest, hardest things I've had to do, and I'm not done, but it gets a little easier, and It's the most healing thing I've ever done. I've been to events. I've done the meditation. I've done all the exercises. I've done all that. And don't get me wrong, that stuff is amazing. And I will do it every single time it's offered to us. I needed to heal, though. And that process just started happening recently. You know, in March was the first time I went to my program. March 7th. And I can remember texting you and texting Jason and being like, why am I terrified to walk in here? Gosh. But now, you know, there's still so much, you know, obviously that's not the full story, but it's what I'm willing to talk about on this platform. And, you know, my thing is, my kids, you know, my kids are the greatest thing I've ever accomplished in my life. And I saw, as they've become adults, I'm starting to see the effects of what I did to them. And not physically, obviously, but, you know, mentally, like their thought processes and how they process things that happen in their lives and the anger and just the not healthy things and reactions. And, you know, I wanted to be able to give my kids better tools and a better mindset. And that was another huge motivator for me. I don't ever want my kids to look back and feel the way that I felt. You know what I mean? So my whole life goal and whole life mission was to be nothing like her. And my mother is who I'm talking about. There's been situations that have come up and, you know, kid deep conversations with me and my older kids. Some of the things that have that they've said is exactly what I've said about my mother. So, you know, it was, and it's open, honest conversations. It's not like attacking or anything like that. It's just open, honest conversation. And, you know, I'm glad that they felt safe and comfortable enough to tell me their truth. And, you know, it's up to me as a parent to fix myself and, you know, make sure that I don't make that mistake again. So that was a huge motivation for me. Yeah.
I like that. I mean, you've been a pretty good friend and, you know,
no, thanks, Frank.
I've seen, you know, a lot of your struggles and I remember that day, and we've talked about it on the podcast before, about when I messaged you one day when I said, when are you going to start showing up?
Our fight.
Yeah.
Aaron doesn't call it a fight. It was absolutely a fight. If anybody wants to know, it was a fight in my head for sure.
I was always seeing her show up for everybody else and trying to fix everybody else, but she wasn't, in my opinion, ever showing up for herself. So I sent her a message because she had canceled on doing some things that we were going to do. And I messaged her and I said, when are you going to start showing up? And left it at that, but meant to say, when are you going to start showing up for yourself? And she flew off the handle. It just went dead. No response. And I was like, oh shit, I pissed her off.
That was growth. Let's be for real. Response was growth at that point. I don't care what anybody says, because had we been face to face, that probably would have been a completely different interaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. But I'm just like so thrilled of like the progress you've made and thanks. Since I've known you, and you know, it's never fun having to relive the trauma of our younger years. But I think you sharing your story on here will help so many people, and that's the whole point of this podcast, is to
for sure. You know, I had never been called out like that before when you said that to me, because if I'm being 100% honest, there was nobody in my life at the time other than Jason who, listen, I walk on water. If y'all's husband doesn't think that you don't walk on water, get a new husband. I don't know what to tell you. Like I can do no wrong in his eyes. And you know, that can be a good thing and a bad thing. But at that time, you know, there was no one that had ever called me out like that before in my life. And I don't mean call me out like trying to embarrass me, but like call me out as to when are you going to show up for you? Because everyone in my life at that time and around me was way more interested in how I could show up for them and what they could get from me. And I just couldn't show up for anybody else because I was so busy showing up for everyone else. So I didn't have to show up for me. I didn't have to deal with my own bullshit. And I was really good at it. And until you said that, it had never been stuck in my face that way before. And it did. It started a whole chain of events, right? And I had to go through the dark, and I'm, you know, don't get me wrong, y'all. Like I'm leaps and bounds where I was, but I'm not done. I know that there's still some shit that I'm going to have to work through. But before, when I would get in a dark place, like it was a long time before I came out of it. And now I'm super proud of the fact that, yeah, I still have bad days and I still have bad moments and there's still shit that comes up, but I'm able to come out of it and get my mindset back in where I need it to be able to be a functioning adult. Because before, it was not like that. And right. I just had never had anybody put it in my face that way before. And, you know, I knew when we made it through that, because listen, before the way that I dealt with shit was if you pissed me off or we had an issue, whatever it was, I cut you off and acted like you never fucking existed before. And it went one or two ways. Either I cut you off and you never existed before, or we were throwing hands and let's get it. You know what I mean? It was one extreme or the other. And, you know, I knew that when we made it through that, and it's, I say that because it was so serious to me where it was not for you, but I knew when we made it through that, I was like, well, this is it. Like, I hope he doesn't think he's ever going to have another best friend because that's never going to work out. You know,
It was serious to me in the matter of fact of why I said it to you.
Right, because right.
I'm not going to say something to somebody that I don't care about.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was serious to me. Like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, are we going to have to start toeing the line here on what I say to her or what?
Yeah.
But, yep. You know. But it's like, you know, I used to be afraid to say stuff to anybody. Like I was Tabitha. Like I saw in her what I used to be. Like I was the one that was always helping other people and allowing other people to walk all over me because I was so busy helping them that I didn't have to look at my own shit.
Which is so ironic too, because if you know me in person, like if you know anything about me, the thought of me letting someone walk all over me is, listen, it just wouldn't fucking happen. Like, I just am not that, in my mind, I'm not that type of person. But in reality, that's exactly what I was letting happen. Thinking that I was being the good friend or whatever the situation was. And yeah, it took you putting that in my face to really see that. And, you know, like I said, it started a whole chain of events and I had to really do some work. I had to really dig deep. And I can remember different points along the way where stuff got pretty dark and, you know, but it was like it got dark and then it got really light. Like I would come out of it and it was almost like manic. Like I would get really bad and then really good and then really bad. But it was me going through these different processes and different points in the process and learning how to regulate my emotion because I didn't know how to do, I didn't know that was even a thing. Like regulating emotion, like, and even now, like I have a lot of love. This is what my dad says. I'm super emotional and I'm super passionate about everything. Anything that I'm involved in, especially people. And my dad says I have so much love and I love him for saying this because he doesn't ever say dramatic because I've been called dramatic. I've been called crazy. My dad always says you just have so much love in you and you can't get it out of you fast enough that you have no choice but to cry. Now, my dad is old school Latino and is just as emotional as I am, but it's true. Like, I do have so much love for people and just for my life in general and gratitude that sometimes it comes out in tears. Sometimes it's so overwhelming that I just want someone to feel it. And you know, the dark parts sometimes are not always, they're not fun, but putting that light in someone else and letting someone else know that you just got to walk through the dark to get to the light. There is nothing better in the world than that. There's no drug, drink, nothing better than that right there, than turning the light on for someone else. So I just keep that in the forefront. I just remember how important and how much better I feel when I make myself a priority, taking care of myself physically, spiritually, emotionally, all the things. And I know where it can go if I don't. So I just try and keep that focus and live in that state of gratitude, even for the bad things, because I know I'm going to learn something out of it, even when I don't want to. And just try and give that to the people around me, or, you know, whoever wants it, because I would have killed for somebody to put that in my face 20 years ago. A lot of mistakes probably could have been saved. A lot of walls probably would not have holes in them, you know? So.
You have learned well, Grasshopper. I mean, I think about your group that you started. What was
this, the Little Light of Mine?
The Little Light of Mine.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when your mind, your body, and your emotions are in check, that's when you can make that light shine bright.
Yeah. And it's a skill. Regulating emotions, you guys, is a skill. Like, I don't, that's not just something that you just automatically know how to do. You know, it's a skill and it takes practice. And sometimes I don't win the battle. Sometimes my emotions get the best of me. And it's usually when I'm crying, if I'm being 100% honest. But, you know, it's a skill and it has to be practiced just like anything else. Emotional maturity, emotional regulation, all of that it's a skill that you have to practice. And, you know, I'm really good at getting up in front of people and speaking and talking and all of those things. But what people don't see on the other side is the tears that come before, not out of nervousness or anything like that, just that I care so much about it that I want to get my point across. And I want people to feel my energy and not just hear the words that I'm saying. So it's a skill. It really is a skill. So. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Tabitha, for agreeing to be vulnerable and letting our audience know more about you.
'Cause I think I appreciate it.
I think, you know, our mess is our story, you know? And it can help other people.
Yeah. If I could say anything to anybody that's listening, and just if you're the person that takes care of everybody else, if you're the mom that you live and breathe for your kids, if you're the wife that, if you're the military wife that holds it down while he's deployed, with your house, your babies, everything, just know that you're not alone, number one. And number two, the best thing you can ever give yourself and your family is your ability to take care of you first. And I didn't know that. I did not know that until I started doing it. And, you know, reach out if you need anything, if you have questions. If you want to know the dark and uglies, listen, I'll tell you. You just have to message me. Like, some of it is not podcast rated. Like, but yeah, just know that there's, you know, there's people that care about you that don't even know who you are. And, you know, we're always here and we'll help in whatever way we can. So, and I love you. And I mean that to every person that hears that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I know you think, how can she love a stranger? There's no, I've never met a stranger in my life, ever. So.
I'll steal my friend's saying, that he always says, if nobody has told you they love you today, I love each and every one of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
All right, y'all. Let's
wrap it up.
Yep, that's enough for me. Adios.
Peace. Please like and subscribe and share, and don't be afraid to reach out to us with feedback and topic ideas. We are here to offer hope to everyone, and we cannot do it without you. Until next time, I'm Aaron.
I'm Tab.
And this is the friendship we can see. This is who we are, and this is what we do. Have a good night. Peace.
Good night.